This episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Audible. Get your free audiobook download and free 30-day trial by going to audibletrial.com/rolltohit.
Is it Germans? Finally, somebody. I've been trying to make that reference for like years. I keep asking Paul if he's seen Snatch, and I've asked him like four times.
You haven't watched it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a good movie. It's fun. Wow. That and Lock, Stock. Good stuff.
I haven't seen
Mean Machine. Did you watch Mean Machine?
I've played Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Yeah, it's not quite the same.
What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 33 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
And I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
Sean's been flicking his hair throughout this entire
intro. Trying to do the
Conan
flick. And I don't have hair and I can't do it.
All right, so settle down, Fabio. Odd. So I bought a new card game this week, Star Realms.
Yeah.
Sean, I've roped into
it
already.
You bought this a while ago.
So
it finally
shipped. So I actually got it.
Because they finished this the strike.
Yes. Yeah. So I actually got this as part of the Humble bundle that was like all card games. And I think I ended up paying like $30 and got this actual physical card game printed. This was like, I don't know, 2-3 months ago. But they finally had it shipped because I guess there was a big strike on whatever their
the
shipping,
docks on the West Coast.
Are, yeah.
Yep.
The space docks.
So anyway, finally came in, and they also have a companion app for iOS, Android, computer. So I've gotten Sean and I've gotten my brother Paul to play it. We've actually had a lot of fun playing it. Like, it's pretty quick pick up and play deck
Sean's
building
review.
Game.
It's yeah. Fun.
What is it? 5-star, Sean. What do you give it? Don't tear it, or so help me God.
Well, when you put it into deck building games, you're funny. It was fun. I'm undecided. Yeah, we only played two games, so we gotta see how
it goes.
Actually,
I have to say, in playing the card game, I'm undefeated. I'm just throwing that out there. No one's beat me yet.
Well, I'll have to learn how to play.
All right, so let's get into it.
That's why he hasn't taught you yet.
Yeah, I know you're my threat. Like, once I teach Josiah this, I won't be able to beat him again. I actually just leave out some of the rules that help me with.
Yeah, I tried to use my special ability last time, and Rob didn't buy it because it was my first time playing.
It's a way to do it. Keep him down.
Cool. All
right, so let's dive into topics. This week I want to talk about what I'm calling game changers, right? So you guys know I'm addicted.
Not game breakers, for those of you fans of NBA Street.
you could almost call it game breakers. Depends on how you look at it. But so you guys know I play this game, Marvel Puzzle Quest. I'm pretty religious about it, and I can quit anytime. I just don't want to.
What's your current streak at?
For 490 or something.
Days.
490 days straight. You know, it's effectively a massively multiplayer game, right? So an MMO. And they've done this before, but I think this was one of the bigger ones. They recently changed how some of the characters play. And it drastically, in this case, nerfs them, meaning that the characters are weaker.
They get nerf guns?
Yes. So one character in particular, Wolverine... the characters come in 1 to 4 stars, and so 4 stars are ultra rare, and they're typically much more powerful. And so the Wolverine X-Force character is a 4-star character, and he was really, really powerful, basically to the point that when you started to get into late season, so they do seasons, and each season has several events. So when you get into the late event, you start basically playing harder teams, and once you get past, you know, like 500 points, so like really good players are going to get about 800 to 1,000 points. So once you start getting into 400 to 500 point games, almost every team you play has this X-Force Wolverine character, which speaks to how powerful he was. Mm-hmm. And they recently changed him so that he's still very powerful, and he has this one move that could have, in the past, it could have come close to killing off a character. Instantly, once he released that move, and it would basically steal action points away from the opponent team. So you'd, one, increase your ability to do damage, and two, probably kill off one of their three characters instantly. Well, they got rid of the ability to steal the action point, so you can't increase your ability to do moves, but you can still kill off a character. But because it's ultra rare, you know, they have in-game currency that you can spend to level him up, or you can just grind it out. Well, I have a feeling that a lot of people chose to spend money and level him up because, man, people were bitching and moaning when they made this change. And like, oh, I can't believe they're doing this. I'm going to quit playing. This is stupid. Wow. How can they just change like on a whim like that? And it just made me think about not this just this game, but other MMOs like League of Legends, like Dota, even, you know, WoW and Guild Wars, that sort of thing. So when they have such huge communities, potentially spending a lot of time either grinding things out or spending more money than what you'd pay on a normal game, when they change the rules, like, that really, really changes the community potentially. So what do you guys think? Have you had experience with this on any MMOs that you've played, or even, you know, maybe StarCraft 2 or something, if they've changed the rules with a patch?
Yeah, I can't say, like, I've never stuck with an MMO long enough for that to affect
that's
me.
That's true. Why did I even ask that question?
even like StarCraft, like, I was never at the point where I was competitive enough to notice, like, you know, combat point difference. Like, if they swung it one way or another, like, oh, I don't think I would pick it up. I was never that good.
Yeah.
That said, I think it would definitely piss me off if I had spent a lot of time focused on one character, building that up, grinding that out, only to have them change them later on.
Yeah, and you know, you're gearing up for Star Citizen when that comes out, and that's kind of their business model right now. I mean, they did the crowdfunded thing, and then now they're selling early access to ships and stuff.
It's kind of like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, exactly. And the game hasn't even come out yet. So what if when this game comes out, they have to do some quick balance tweaks? And I mean, that's very risky.
Yeah,
I hope they know what they're doing.
One of the reasons why I haven't bought into, well, that, and I just don't want to drop $200 on this game, but you know, one of the reasons why I haven't bought anything past this, the basic ship in Star Citizen, is because I, you know, you have no idea.
Like, you haven't played the game.
Throwing all this money down to see, like, to have something completely unknown, not knowing how it's going to affect the game, not knowing how it's going to end up once they actually do develop.
Right. I think it's really impressive that they raised that much money, but it's also a huge risk.
They figured out a really good model for it to work, but just said, like, I don't know that I could get into that at that point.
Well, more importantly, just as a sidebar with the Star Citizen, I mean, they make a lot of money, and it seems like the fans are still really happy, which I think, considering how much they haven't released that much, and it feels like they keep pushing it off, it's surprising that they've kept fan base happy with that. And so I think, you know, with games like Marvel Puzzle Quest and a lot of these, making sure your fan base, keeping in touch with them, and making sure that, you know, when you reset things like this and you change these things massively, are people going to stay on? Like, I'm in the same way. One reason why I don't like MMOs is because I think for them to get really fun, you have to be at the max level or something like that.
Yeah.
And I never play it to that. But I've heard of, like, for example, StarCraft, a lot of times viable builds kind of go away because they do change unit health, HP or damage enough that it will make a big difference.
Yeah, and, you know, when I'm saying MMOs, it doesn't have to be RPGs. Like, I would say something like Hearthstone.
That's what I was just going to bring up. Yeah. Hearthstone is the one. They just introduced some new cards with, you know, the mechs and then the goblins and things like that. And every time they introduce new cards, it completely changes how things balance, how things play out, your strategy playing the game.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I do like it because it kind of keeps it fresh. But being somebody who's more of a casual player, not hardcore into it, and figuring out what the best deck builds are, it throws me off because the one deck that I had that was actually pretty good and would get me up to level 15 can now not get me past 19 because of certain new cards that are coming out to block my old strategies.
Yeah.
But again, so I mean, it's that trade-off. That said, it hasn't dissuaded me that, you know, I haven't paid for it. So I guess that's a big thing.
Yeah, I think
it hasn't put me off to change the game. Like, I still enjoy it. For me, it just keeps it fresh by adding new cards and new strategies.
And especially it's confusing because, I mean, I don't know a Marvel Puzzle Quest. By the way, I just love saying that. I don't know what their how their
revenue
works. Do
they sponsor us yet?
We bring them up every episode.
I'll look into it.
I don't know about a lot, but I've heard a number of free-to-play games really make a lot of money off whales, meaning a core group of people that spend a lot of money, more so than just everybody spending a little bit of money. And so if this is not a change that really affects them, it may not be a big deal. But it's a game design idea, like, issue that you have to think about. If you want to reset something, you want to retool it, you have to think about what's going to happen earlier on. And it's a difficult decision because you kind of, I'm sure as a game designer, you kind of want to reset some stuff, throw out old things, but keep it fresh. That's why balance is so difficult.
Well, that too, you just don't want anything to be too powerful, right?
Yeah. Like
if you have... Right, yeah. I mean, this is something that they can see with statistics, just the very nature of digital video games, right? Like, they can see, I could tell anecdotally, like I said, this X-Force character was used by all the high-level players.
Right.
And whether they paid for it or they grinded it out, who cares? It's still a huge investment. Emotionally, you're invested in this character, the way you built it out.
Man,
so
take this seriously.
No, I'm just saying, if you spent 200-300 days doing anything, you're going to be like, oh, that's my thing. Yeah. How can you change it, right? Like, you know, you look at football and they're bitching and moaning about just adding instant replay to it, right?
Sure.
Like, I'm soccer, right? So I was trying to be a cool kid like you guys say football. But, I mean, like, they can't get that pass for several years, right? So it's a big thing to change the rules of a game, and it just seems like MMOs are more susceptible to that. You know, I think in one sense the game developers are trying to be fair, and they're looking at statistics, and they're saying, hey, we've got to the point where after 2 years of playing this game or producing this game, we've got 60 characters and one is being used 80% of the time, then rebalance it. That makes sense, but, you know, it's a hard sell to your community.
And I think sometimes keeping it fresh. I don't know, you know, I don't know enough about the game, but sometimes if, you know, you get a new influx of players and people feel like, oh, I keep losing a game because this guy's using this one.
Yeah, because he's OP,
And, you know, and you really got to look at your user base and see, okay, do they see Marvel Puzzle Quest? How closely does it relate to the drug crack? Because, you know, crackheads, even if they make a diluted version of crack,
I've
they're
not
still
yet
gonna go
stolen
back.
From anybody to play this game. But
Josiah hasn't come in scratching and itching his, you know, his neck.
I haven't missed work.
Doing on your phone.
I haven't missed work for this game, but yeah.
The real question is, so Josiah, do you have a username that we can go on the Marvel Puzzle Quest forums? Where you're reminiscing, I remember the days of pre-patch 2.4.
Actually,
that was the real time.
So I did start playing this game maybe 2.5 months after it was released. So, like, I do remember.
One of the OGs.
I remember back in the day before this was. So this was the second time that they changed, in particular, Wolverine X-Force character. And, he was originally really sucky. I just happened to get very lucky and get many of his covers, but I never played with him because he kind of sucked. Mm-hmm. And then they did a patch about, whatever, 6-8 months ago, and that's when he became super overpowered and everybody started playing with him. So it does make sense that they're just trying to balance things out.
But changing it hasn't dissuaded you from playing it, though.
Not me personally, but like there are alliances, almost like guilds. They're almost like guilds in there, and so I'm in a guild or an alliance, they call it, and several people in my alliance were bitching and moaning, and because I mean, you look at it, you can look at your teammates' rosters, and some of them, like that one character, you could tell that's all they did. I don't know if they paid money or just time, but that is their most powerful character, and everybody else on their roster is way underpowered. Like, I have a pretty even balance, so it's not a big deal if one of my powerful characters gets knocked out, because I'll just cycle through a rotation. But some of these guys that are on my team, like, they really have no alternative because that guy is much weaker now. So I can empathize.
You know, it's one positive aspect of playing pirated games. Not that we support it at all and we think it's a horrible practice. Your games don't automatically get patched. So you'll be on version 1.0 the whole time. So if somebody finds some OP thing you can do, well, you can just do it.
Yeah, but you're not playing online with a community very likely. So
we play with our own friends.
LAN party?
CPU.
All right,
let's move on before we get arrested. So a device came out 2 weeks ago, right?
I like devices.
A device, yes.
A device. That
does it
is
start with an A?
Very, it does.
Or does it start with an I? I've been told it starts with an I. I watch.
Thanks.
I completely forgot the device.
So, yes, Apple's smartwatch was released and, you know, has brought fury to the world.
No, Apple's watch. It's not a smartwatch. It's just a watch that happens to be in
the Okay, Apple, the Apple Watch has been released. And we've gotten some interesting... Slice Intelligence put out a number of interesting statistics based on this that I would like to read off, being the Apple hater slash, you know... reformed.
You're also the stats and data guy.
I am. Yeah. Although I didn't find this. So Slice estimates that nearly 1 million people pre-ordered the Apple Watch the first day it was available for sale.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, yeah. We all kind of knew. So I think, Sean, you said you knew. How many Android Wear devices were sold so far?
750,000 in 2014. So that's probably like June to December.
Right. They so didn't, really out. So yeah. That means in one
so
day.
So that's all manufacturers.
Like LG,
right.
Yep.
So that's in one day they shattered that, right? Which, I mean, everybody kind of saw it coming. Right? This is the first new device that Apple's put out since the iPad, which is what, 5 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, and, you know, everybody's been waiting for the next thing from Apple, and obviously, you know, they have a huge following. People are very eager to early adopt anything that Apple puts out, right? So I mean just that number alone, does it shock you? Are you like, oh yeah, for sure that would have happened?
Yeah, it is. I think it is kind of shocking. I mean, you know, the analysts were all over the map, and I cut them a lot of slack because it's really hard to tell, you know, because in general, when you look at numbers like you know, that 750,000 number for all of Android Wear, and then Pebble, I think, has gotten to 1 million since it's been out.
Right.
So that's almost two years, yeah. I think, almost 2 full years. Right. So it's taken 2 years to get to 1 million. So some people were saying, you know, under 1 million for the year for Apple Watch. Some people were saying 20 million for the year for Apple Watch. Who knows what's going to happen? Because, you know, these are orders. They haven't shipped yet to normal people. It'll ship. It'll arrive next week. So we'll see if people actually keep the device or if they return it. If they're happy and then word of mouth takes off, or they bad mouth it and word of mouth takes off and people have buyer's remorse. Who knows?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing we talked about earlier is that one also important thing is. Pre-orders are high for a lot of Apple products, but since this is a brand new product, like, you know, if you pre-order the iPhone 6, you kind of know what you're getting with an iPhone.
Yep.
This is a brand new device, so a lot of these pre-orders are pretty much on trust in Apple, marketing hype, and just, I don't know, just liking Apple in general. So it is a lot of faith to put in. So it'll be interesting to see how
and
people
it's not
turn out.
I mean, you're
it.
Putting at least $350 down for the cheapest version of this, right?
Yeah.
So here's a couple more stats and read off. So on average, people who pre-ordered ordered an average of 1.3 watches. So that means
like
a lot of people ordered more than
like,
one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for the household.
And the average spent was $503 per watch. The average spent on the sport watch, which is the cheaper model, is $382. And the Apple Watch was $700.
So say the average spent again?
Average spent was $500.
So that's either an upgrade model or an upgraded watch band or something?
Yeah. No, because I think the stainless steel model is above $500.
Yeah, but because it's average. It's average, right?
Because
the most popular model was the Sport.
The Sport band was definitely,
which is the cheapest.
62% ordered the Sport.
I think the Sport, it's $350 and $400 for the bigger one.
Right,
right. Yeah,
right.
Which to me, to
which
me
makes
signals,
sense because you have all those sports at $350 to $400, and then you throw in a couple stainless steels and a handful of edition gold watches, and that bumps up the average price.
Sure.
To me, that signals the idea that it kind of makes sense. There's a lot of trust in Apple, but I feel like people are a little bit hesitant right now because I think if this turns into what it should be as a really good product. I think more people are going to get the stainless steel. I mean, the Sport is nice, but I think people want the stainless steel and might pay for that. But I think right now people still don't totally know what it's for.
Yeah.
There's still some unknown, so people kind of want to dip their feet in, but they don't want to totally like... Because it is, I mean, if you buy two watches, even if you don't spend that $1,000, like $700, that's $1,400 straight out of pocket. That's
It's big. So, and I think I agree with... Your analysis there, your your scenario, but it's probably also some of that is people who do know what they're buying and they realize that it's first gen, so they want the cheapest thing. That's actually, you know, on The Verge, they mentioned that. Eli Patel mentioned, like, yeah, you should get it, but you should probably get the cheapest one right now because you know it's going to be improved in the next 2 years.
So 72% of people who ordered the Apple Watch purchased an Apple product in the past 2 years, whether it's an iPhone, computer, or an iPad.
That makes sense because, I mean, you need the iPhone to use the watch.
Sure. I feel bad for the whatever 27% that own an Android phone. It's like, what's going on?
But you're also – so I was, my question was, you know, who's actually ordering this? Because it's funny, the three of us, neither of us even really thought about pre-ordering this.
Yeah.
And, you know, for whatever reason it is, right? But being people who are more, like, very interested in tech, we're not – you know, ready to jump on the opportunity to be the first to own this.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've definitely read on tech sites people commenting that, you know, they're going to get it, and I've heard tech reviewers say it. But it's really hard to tell since it's so new. You can't try it in the store. I mean, I feel kind of the same way about Apple Pay. I don't think I've ever seen anyone actually do it. But Apple, before I even say this, I should say one tiny caveat to these numbers. These aren't official from Apple. They are from Intelligence, so we don't know. But the watch probably did well. We don't know if it did better or worse than this, but it probably did well at minimum. But so with Apple Pay, Apple has put out numbers for that, and they have been fairly big, and they've been getting more partners. But I've never seen it. So it's very possible that they're doing really well. But just,
you know, the interesting thing is, you know, like these numbers are still mind-boggling to me because I don't know many people with a smartwatch, right? Like the Android Wear, like I think Dave was talking about maybe getting the Samsung Gear. I don't know if he ever did get it.
Yeah.
But like I know one kid that works at a McDonald's that I go to sometimes in the morning. He has a Samsung Gear. And like that's literally all the people I ever watch.
That has Gear.
So, you know, it's a rare thing. Yeah. So it's not like those people are talking up smartwatches to all the million people who just bought an Apple Watch. Right. So it's bizarre to me. But
that also speaks to the whole, and I don't want to go down this other rabbit hole, but Apple's marketing. And I don't want to imply, oh, they just sell stuff only because of their marketing.
No, I think that's important too. Yeah.
Because I think they could have done a better job. Is that I still feel like I'm not totally sold on everything you can do yet because I don't think they 100% know yet. I think they want to wait for developers and other things. But no matter what, getting you to want a product, I almost like – this is going to sound bad, but I can't picture that. I think every smartwatch review I read, pretty much they said, this is the best smartwatch to have. And I think even if they were in the middle on that, I think Apple has a way of making you want to feel that way. Even if it isn't necessarily the best, they have a very good way. Like, I don't know. They still make excellent products. I'm not trying to say that they only are based on marketing, but they definitely have a way of making you feel like no matter what, this is the best product out
there. Well, you know, I'm listening to the Steve Jobs biography right now by Walter Isaacson.
Where are you listening to that?
On Audible,
there
of course.
There you go. Actually, Walter Isaacson comes into his house.
He just reads it to me. It's weird. He gets in bed with him. I pick him up in the car, and he carpools with me to work and back. So anyhow, you know, that is an admitted strategy of theirs is to market the hell out of things, but they also really pay attention to, we've talked about this before, fit and finish, right? So they make it look really nicely polished and really well done. Even if it's doesn't have all the features you want, it just looks like a really well-crafted product.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's that's the iPad you're talking about, the Macs that they make, et cetera. You know, you're not going to find any glue seams. You're not going to find any, you know, screws loose or anything like that or whatever. I mean, they pay attention to their product design and development and deployment. So from soup to nuts. So that's really important. And, you know, they pay attention to this stuff. And in their ads, they did a really smart thing. And I didn't notice this myself.
Wait, have you seen ads? I haven't seen any. Well, I guess I don't really watch that much TV, but even on the internet.
Yeah, I watch stuff on like Hulu or whatever.
Okay, and they have?
Yeah, there's. They keep playing this ad. Idea. It's got a pretty. So one, I was going to say, they always use a catchy song, right? So it's got this catchy song that I actually added to my playlist on Beats Audio. And
Lil Jon's new song. Hit it to the floor with the watch.
So. So they always have a catchy tune, right? Just makes it, it's like in your mind. And then the other thing they did, and somebody on a podcast that I was watching, listening to, mentioned this, so I didn't come up with this idea myself, but they did a really smart thing in basically posing the conversation as, which one are you going to get? Not, are you going to get an Apple Watch? Because in the
we
ad,
know you're gonna get
no, the, in the ad, yeah. they show you all the different color combinations and watch band combinations. And so now, instantly, you see that, and you're like, oh, which one do I want? It's not, do I want a watch, period. Yeah. It's, which one am I going to get? And that's really, really smart. And it's a subtle thing, but, you know, psychology-wise, it really works. So,
but can someone explain to me why Beyonce is the only one who can get a gold link watch?
And wears it on the wrong side.
Well, on a serious note, though, I don't get why they don't have a gold link one. Like, I would assume they don't have acquisition problems in terms of supply chain. So just to explain what I'm talking about, a number of celebrities have been seen wearing the Apple Watch. And Beyonce has one with – she has the gold edition that has a gold link bracelet or band. And that does not exist. You can't buy that. And so I don't know why they don't make it, because I'm surprised there are no metal bands for the gold one. I definitely see leather. That makes perfect sense. But I guess I'm just surprised they don't have any metal bands for the gold one. I mean, you could swap it from the other one, but that'd be kind of tacky. I'm just surprised.
They don't have a gold Milanese?
As far as I know, it's all the rubber one, and then they have the leather
one. The leather one? That's fine. Yeah, I didn't actually even look at it, because obviously it's not in my pay grade. But
so, it comes out soon, right?
Yeah, it should be hitting stores, arriving April 24th, and they're usually pretty good at meeting those. And you'll actually hear on the internet, I'm positive you're going to hear stories on the internet of people getting it on the 23rd, because it ships direct from the factory, and they're really good about meeting their launch dates. So,
but if you want to try it on, you're going to need an appointment, right?
Don't start.
Yeah.
Don't start. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'm actually getting an appointment to meet an iPad. I need to look at a new one.
Stupid. Anyway, we have a question this week that is brought to you by Audible, which Josiah mentioned. He's listening to the Steve Jobs biography.
It's really good. It's really interesting. That guy was crazy, like crazy insane, just straight up insane, and then crazy genius. And that's really like he was a very polarizing character in that he was a study in extremes, and it's really interesting. But as I've mentioned before, I've got this crazy long commute, like 60 miles each way, so I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of audiobooks, and I think after this one I'm gonna go back to something light and just something simple. So I'll probably listen to a Dungeons and Dragons book after this, but yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's a really good read. And you guys should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I meant to read that. I mean, now that I can check it out on audible.com, maybe it'll make me want to try it out.
So if you want to get that for free, what you can do is go
for
to... For free.
How can I do that?
You go to audibletrial.com/rolltohit, sign up, you get a free audiobook, and you get to try the service for 30 days.
Absolutely. That sounds free. Great.
Amazing.
Fits right in my life.
And if you want a D&D podcast to listen to, you can check the three of us and a few more of our friends at Roll to Hit, which is our 5th edition live play D&D podcast.
Rolltohit.audio.
Yes. So, all that to say, the question of the week related to our last topic is, so far from what you've seen, which do you prefer, the Apple Watch or an Android Wear device?
Rob is staring at me, so I guess I'm going to answer first.
Sean doesn't like answering questions first.
I definitely, hands down, I prefer the Apple Watch.
Why?
What I was saying earlier, I think overall, I mean, I know there's a lot of variety, and Sean and I can go to battle about this, you know, whether a round watch face is better versus a rectangular watch
round
face.
Round is the answer.
You're both incorrect. but, you know, so I think the design is very solid. I know Sean doesn't like the aesthetics, and I don't think it's the most beautiful watch, but I think it is well designed and it's well put together. I think the features are very interesting, but I've said before, I don't buy first generation stuff, and this is no exception. Yep. You know, the battery life is too short. It's not planning to run apps natively until probably, I think they said October or in the fall. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they do that, you can imagine that the battery life is going to drop. So I'm not going to buy first gen on this. I don't need to wear it while I sleep. to track my sleep or anything like that. I'd probably wear something more comfortable. So I don't mind charging it every night. But at 18 hours, you know, some of the reviewers said that, you know, they were getting home at the end of the day and it was just about to die on them. So I don't want to have to get home and immediately put it on the bedstand, the charger, whatever. So I definitely prefer the Apple Watch, but twist, I think I might buy the Pebble Time when it comes out. Because, you know, like I said, I'm not going to buy first gen, and so it might be 2 years down the road before I decide to buy an Apple Watch. So my Fitbit, I've mentioned before, I'm having some trouble with it. The build quality on that, it was never the most beautiful product in the world, and the silicone rubber is peeling off and the glue is breaking. And some of the plastic bits are breaking off the back of it. So a little disappointed with that. And I would like a few more features. So I think I might get the Pebble Time.
Interesting. Sean?
Neither. they're still immature at this point. I think there are enough people interested that, and both see this area as important, both Google and Apple. So they're going to keep building on it, but I'm not really sold on either. I mean, Android Wear, I actually like the thought process behind Android Wear a little bit better than the Apple Watch, but there are still so many holes in the flat tire issue, and there's so many other things. I think they can come out with better
What do you mean, the flat? I mean, the flat, only one watch has a flat tire.
No, there are actually a few others because, well, so no one's really solved the circular watch issue because all the
ones.
Yeah,
LG has a couple
around. But they do it with a thick bezel. So that's, I guess that's what I mean with like a, they have to do
a
thick bezel.
So you want the Moto 360 without the flat tire?
Maybe, but I think, honestly, I think they can do better than the Moto 360. Maybe a little bit smaller. Like, I actually.
Or don't do a round watch.
So I, you know what? It'll be funny though. I still think, you know, I think people kind of like the Apple Watch now, but I do think once the next iteration and when they change hardware, people are going to feel, in my opinion, be like, why did we get the first generation one, you know? And I totally understand circular versus round. Round is better for reading text. But to me, I would, since still, you know, jewelry, I would rather them figure out some way to curtail the software to fit to a round device than the other way around. I mean, I don't see why you'd want to read lots of text. But I don't know. I mean, I can't think of how they would do it. I do not know at all. But I would rather them figure out some way to work on a round watch since it is jewelry rather than go backwards. Because to me, making it square is like, it's a gadget. How do we make a gadget into a watch rather than a watch that does gadget things?
I don't know. I mean, there's lots and lots of examples before technology was ever involved of rectangular watches.
There are. But I think few of them, well, okay, I'm not a big watch person, but I feel
I've never
like,
seen you wear a watch. I had a Garfield watch.
I did have an almost square watch that I bought from Boston Science Museum. Nice. It had, I mean, neither watch has a magnifying glass, a little flashlight, and like, man, it was way better.
Yeah.
So neither.
So I'm a little torn right now, right? So there, like, I see positives in both. I'm leaning more towards Android Wear, especially given that they're about to release, well, when I.O. happens, they'll be putting out the second iteration of it.
iOS compatibility, too.
So that's the big thing. I think if they, it sounds like they've solved iOS compatibility, but we don't know what Apple's going to let them do at the end of the day. That's a big one since I'm running an iPhone right now. I will say I don't like the hardware of the Apple Watch. I like the round watch better.
Yeah.
The Huawei watch, I think that's coming out this summer sometime. I don't know if they've set a release date yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I think that's the best looking watch. I think the 360 is the best watch out right now. I think it's a little too thick still and a couple other issues. But the Huawei watch, I think, is the best looking one. And I think they've also...
The LG Urbane? LG watch Urbane? That one looks nice. That has a round face too.
Doesn't that have the dial around it though?
No, that's the other one.
Yeah, I didn't like that one. So the other issue too is I don't like the watch faces that are on the Apple Wear yet, or Apple, Jesus,
Apple Watch,
Apple Watch,
yeah.
And the Huawei, the watch faces that they've released images of, I think, are by far the best ones that I've seen.
Yeah.
And I think it's supposed to be. I think the bezel's too thick, though.
I mean, that to me is a non-starter, especially because, like I said, I'm not going to buy one in Gen 1.
Yeah.
But I know as soon as they allow native apps on it, there's going to be an app to change the watch face. No doubt about it. So
yeah, I mean, all I can go off of
before
right
the
now
end of
I
this
see
calendar
well,
year.
Wouldn't that have to yeah be lower level? Wouldn't Apple have to do that? I mean, I don't know how it would work. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there will be more watch faces from Apple, and there probably will be third-party watch faces by the end of this calendar
year. Yeah.
I want a goofy watch face. I want a mini watch face. I want.
Very happy, Mickey. So anyway, I'm going. I know. I'm just going off of what I've seen, what I know.
Yeah.
Right now.
No,
right?
That's a good point.
Right now, I'm leaning towards Android Wear. I'm more hopeful that they're going into their second year of it. Right, second year.
Yeah.
You know, the iOS compatibility, obviously.
No, it came out. Well, yeah, I guess the start of the second year. Yeah. It came out a year ago. Yeah.
So I think if the Moto 360, the second iteration, when they probably are going to announce it at I.O.
The
year.
720?
Yeah.
Or just the one.
You know what's interesting?
We thought about Xbox and they threw us away.
I don't know what it's going to be because I'm pretty sure this will be after the Lenovo purchase. So
yeah,
I don't know how that's going to affect everything. I don't know how Lenovo
that's a good point
with it.
Yeah.
But, so I will say that. That's probably going to be what I get if they have good iOS compatibility.
Yeah.
I will say it's interesting because I have the Microsoft band right now and I'm having some of the same issues where it's already starting to peel on the inside and like just things that should not be happening.
Yeah.
And I love this device, but I I'm still not convinced that I would use the Apple Watch or any Android Wear watch working out yet. Like I think it's still kind of ridiculous to have a big watch face while you're working out and all that stuff. So I'm still trying to get over the fact that I might still keep the band and only use it for working out and trade back and forth. But
yeah, I mean,
talks to each other. So it's
again, I think it's a generational thing because I've worn Timex Ironman watches while working out, you know, while jogging, while lifting weights, that sort of thing. Sometimes I'll take it off. I used to have more like a jewelry style stainless steel watch that was pretty big.
Yeah,
I'd take that off when I was lifting weights because you know dig into my wrist, but. As
even
soon
just
as
like
I
playing soccer, like I can't imagine myself wearing a big watch like that.
Yeah,
soccer.
Maybe not during soccer, like where there's contact activity. But you know, running and stuff like that, I've worn it. You just need to have a tight fitting band, so like the sport band, so it doesn't just bounce around and jiggle on your wrist. But yeah,
so there you go. Last topic.
Cool watches. You know what I like watches. Video games. Video games aren't watches at
King
all.
King of transitions.
I need to put a compilation of your transitions somewhere.
Video games, they like to make money. People like to make money from them.
This is why they come
Sue,
out.
Sue, this world famous company, Nuzu.
I've heard of them.
They came out with top 10 public companies by game revenues. Remember, it's revenues, not profits. And so a number of the regular players, the usual guys are on there, Sony, Microsoft, EA, Activision, but there are some interesting ones. Apple and Google are pretty high. And the assumption here is this is app revenue. Obviously Apple and Google don't actually make any video games.
Yep.
They're not that far apart from each other and they're both behind, Blizzard, but it's interesting. I'll get into the lower end in
Blizzard's
a second.
Blizzard's crazy because they've only got like three games.
Yeah.
Well, it's Activision Blizzard.
Oh,
they're together.
Okay.
So
okay.
They have
okay
a couple franchises. But yeah,
it's going to say
Blizzard,
like Hearthstone's
their,
free.
Yeah. But they probably make
microtransactions, yeah, sure.
But the interesting point, well, I don't know which one's more interesting. So one interesting point is number one is Tencent. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, it's a Chinese company. They have a bunch of properties, including, I think some of their biggest is, I think they own Riot.
Yeah. And, that's the big one. Yeah.
But they
which
also,
I didn't realize they owned them. So Riot makes
League of Legends, yeah,
which is the number
the
one online
most popular game.
But we can't discount though. They also own part of Epic Games, but I don't know how big that is. But as far as I know, I'm checking right now. I think they own a few other MMOs, and you can't really discount how big the Chinese market is for a lot of these games. They have Dungeon and Fighter.
That makes sense. Is that like, oh wow, that's
awesome. They have a music distribution company, they have a taxi service,
yeah, but that's not included in that anyway.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Anyway, sorry about that. But so it's interesting. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, we obviously know League of Legends is big, but it's crazy to see. I mean, they're bigger than Sony, Microsoft, EA, Activision, Apple, Google, not combined, but they're huge. And they had 37% growth. I mean, they're growing at a pretty good clip. And yeah. It shows, I mean, this is literally one game. It's, you know.
Well, like you said, they have other properties in there, but you know, that and Dota and StarCraft are the two, the three biggest esports games as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're and esports in general is becoming more mainstream. So, it's surprising. Like, the main surprising thing is, I didn't know Riot was owned by Tencent.
Yeah.
Like, I would have expected Riot to be number one when you started reading this list.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's right where it should be in my mind, at least.
But, I mean, it shows you where everything's going. I mean, the fact that essentially a few games all... Well, Tencent, one thing, even though I don't know every property they have, as far as I know, all of their games are free to play. That's right. Their thing.
Yeah.
So that company, the one publisher of a couple free-to-play games, is larger than Sony and Microsoft.
Yeah.
Their game revenue. Like, that's pretty incredible, especially because free-to-play, I mean, it's been in some incarnations for a while, but it's really only gotten huge relatively recently, and it's already kind of surpassed consoles, which, you know, traditional gamers like us have a strong focus on this. Like, games journalism is focused on traditional, well, just, I don't know, fewer free-to-play, I feel like. And yet, it seems like free-to-play is just eclipsing it.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think, to be fair, so games journalism is usually talking about something new, right? So, like, here's the new release.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You know, free-to-play is a persistent thing. It's sure. Just always there. They will release new characters, but that's not nearly as big as a big new game. You know, it's kind of like, you know, even with other games, they don't talk about DLC as much as they would talk about a brand new release.
Game release, yeah.
So, you know, and when you talk about persistent online games that are free to play, you know, it's not even DLC. It's like a new character. It's not a whole new quest or new world or map or whatever.
Well, I guess related to that, when I think of games innovation, MOBAs were definitely a big innovation, but when you're thinking, you know, inclusion in gaming, how can we make stories different?
Yep.
In many ways, I mean, MOBAs are, without a doubt, its own thing, and it's a very specific area. It's almost like sports games or something like that,
yeah.
Where it doesn't really come into the consciousness. It's definitely in the consciousness, but it's definitely in esports. It's not like, it's a different kind of innovation. But anyway, the other side of this coin, Tencent's doing great.
Yep.
The sad part is so one thing to note, third from the bottom is King. Then they're the guys who make Candy Crush.
Yep.
Which, okay, I mean, it's there's nothing, I have nothing against them, but it's interesting to see how high they are considering
another
really,
all free to play.
Yeah, makers, and it's all yeah. mobile, and it's basically they make Candy Crush and clones of Candy Crush.
Yeah.
But what's really sad to see is the guy right behind them is Nintendo.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nintendo still makes very solid games, but it's really the Wii U is pulling them down. 3DS isn't helping them nearly enough. I don't think it wasn't nearly as big as when the DS first came out, which was huge. And it's just really sad to see how much Nintendo is.
You think
flagging.
They'd be doing better with all that Sega character money.
Well, you know, the other thing is who gets to play your games, right? So to yeah. play Nintendo games, you have to own a Nintendo device. To play a King game, you have to own a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there are hundreds of millions.
Not Windows Phone.
Well, sorry, we can. It's debatable how smart that
Rob's
phone is.
Rob's crying right now.
But so you have an Android or an iOS phone, and there are hundreds of millions of those devices out there. How many, you know, how many consoles? Even with the top selling consoles, like yep. if you bundle Xbox One and PlayStation 4, mm-hmm. there's not hundreds of millions of those things out there in the market.
Yeah,
yet.
Even after that 30% cut, you're still, I mean, not to mention even traditionally published games, you're not getting the whole cut.
Yeah.
So,
and you don't have to print physical media and all that stuff. So, you know, it's not surprising that you see, we were talking about, what's that, Game of War?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they have all these crazy commercials.
Yeah,
even,
it's like a $40 million dollar revenue.
Yeah, but that's...
No, the Kate Upton game. Yeah. Now you know what I'm talking about.
That's the biggest expense is acquiring new users, but they do it because once they get those new users, you know, the development costs are really low. You don't have to print physical media, all that stuff, and... You know, you just spend money on getting users, and those are going
to
float you.
And, you know, it's so funny, not to totally derail it, but you think about how much revenue there is in mobile gaming, it's, I think, you know, the Wii was initially set out because they wanted to make a system. I'm saying Wii, not Wii U. They wanted to get everybody. They didn't want just hardcore gamers to play first-person right. shooters. They wanted everybody.
Yeah.
And it kind of worked, but it kind of failed because they really they didn't keep people interested.
Right.
Mobile games have definitely done that. I know so many people who don't game and play it. Or, like, you think about you playing Marvel Puzzle Quest. I mean, yeah, you're a gamer, but I don't think you could see yourself playing a game like this until you started playing it and you realized it was fun. And I know I have friends who maybe have played games before, but they have these games that have really good Candy gameplay Crush, loops.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, they play Candy Crush or they play Clash of Clans.
Yeah, it goes back to the low barrier of entry, right? Because, I mean, everybody has a smartphone pretty much. You don't need to be sitting in front of a TV at home to play one of these games. Right. You could be wherever.
Yep. Everybody has a device. You can play it in a few minutes, pull it out, and just, you know, play while you're waiting in line, that sort of thing. Or the other piece of it is, you know, you look at the psychology of the game. So I studied animal behavior in psychology when I was in school as an education major. So, you know, you look at it and it's what you're saying earlier. It's these reward loops. And so the reward right. loops, it's just like people used to talk about getting addicted to Diablo, right? And what's so addicting about Diablo? It's the loot drops, right? So if you could figure out how to make a game with frequent loot drops, whatever the loot might be, that you could play anytime, any place. And by the way, they monetize that. So, oh, what's another dollar or two to get more loot? Okay, well, yeah, now you're making millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. So that's what most of these online multiplayer games are on phones. So
gotta get those blue, shiny, glowing versions of your starting weapon. Because the starting weapon isn't good. But once it's blue and shiny, it
makes all the difference.
Well, and just to totally derail my argument there, the interesting thing is, so going back to that company at the top, Riot Games with League of Legends, you don't actually... So you can... The things you pay for in League of Legends are...
Skins,
for the most part, to change the look and feel of your character. Mm-hmm. But they play the same way. So it's not really a pay-to-win model. The only thing you can do is buy more slots so you have more options to spec out your character so you can more easily change them before going into a certain type of match. So you make them more defensive or more offensive or whatever. And then the other thing you can do are boosts. So you can basically pay for a timer that will increase the amount of experience you get. But experience is pointless once you get to level 30. So, I mean, I just grinded it out. I played on and off for about 3 months. I got to level 30, and I don't need to ever pay for a boost. Not that I did. So, you know, I have bought a couple skins here and there just because I like the game and I think it's fun. But you know, beyond that, you know.
That's the funny part of it. I can imagine there being a business or a meeting with all the business analysts and them saying, okay, we've got this great property, Team Fortress 2. I bet they'll pay a ton of money for hats.
Yeah.
And somebody else said, no, what are you talking about? You're an idiot. And it, I mean, you really think about it. Yeah. Just having a different costume or, you know, having a special axe. It's, it's crazy though, but it adds flair to your character.
Paper dolls.
Yeah. And it's, so we're all, oh man, I can't think of the book. Never mind.
nice.
Pretty Little Girls. What's it? Pretty Little Women. What's it?
Liars.
I don't know.
No, I look creepy here. Sound creepy.
On that note,
that's a good transition.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the iTunes and Stitcher. Be sure to share us with your friends. Leave some comments or submit questions and topics that you'd like to hear by going to theunwind.audio. And also check out Roll to Hit, our D&D podcast. And we'll see you next week.
Audible.